This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Next chapter in the Star Wars saga, Return of the Jedi. The battle between good and evil rages on. Join the further adventures of Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia, Lando Calrissian, Chewbacca, C-3PO and R2-D2, and Darth Vader. A journey to alien worlds.
It's a trap!
A rebellion against oppression. An epic of heroes and villains. An adventure as vast as the universe. Return of the Jedi. Coming to a selected theater in your galaxy.
Welcome to another episode of Newcomers!
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer.
And we've never seen Star Wars.
Sure haven't.
We watched Return of the Jedi.
We did.
And you know what?
I liked it too!
This feels so huge because honestly, yes. I don't know that we were expecting to like anything.
I thought I was going to hate all of these movies.
Yeah. I was really delighted to find that I thought this one was very cute and funny and actually sad. There were a lot of points where I felt emotionally
points where I was very, very
upset.
Every
character we like dies.
Uh-huh. Like, also, I didn't know everyone dies.
Me neither. I was surprised by every death.
And I think what happened was nobody really, I guess, talks about the third movie.
Right. Well, I think part of what it is, someone just mentioned to us that Darth Vader, I was like, so that's it? And they're like, no, he's in the next one. It's a prequel.
Yes.
So then I was like, oh, that's why in my head he's in all of the movies. But then I was like, so I didn't know he died.
I didn't know he died either.
And by the way, he's ugly as fuck.
He's disgusting. When they took off that helmet, I said, oh, no.
No, I was.
You better put that right back on.
Very gross.
Ugh. Okay, should we introduce our guest?
Let's please do it. We have on today Emily Yoshida. Mm-hmm. She's a writer and filmmaker and one of the hosts of the podcast Night Call. And she's written for so many publications, Vanity Fair, Vulture, and including an article about Star Wars called All the CGI Characters in the Star Wars Prequels Ranked from Tolerable to Inexcusable.
I was is this Star Wars content going to be? Because there's been so much, I feel like, over the years. So, yeah, I was very proud of that one.
I love that it's tolerable. Not like the best ones to the worst. It's this one's fine.
I don't know if this was ranked on the CGI characters list, but and I don't know what version you guys were watching of this,
because the there are many versions.
So did you get age makeup Hayden Christensen when he takes off the... Okay.
No, when he takes off the helmet. No, helmet. We saw Hayden Christensen in a hologram.
We got a blob sort of.
Okay. There's like, I think there's a version where, and I get these all mixed up because I like am such a Luddite about this. I like try to get the most original version that I possibly can get. But where I think that they like plopped in his face.
Oh, no.
Like,
that's really bad.
Insane. Yeah. Why would you ever?
The CGI stuff really bothers
me. It takes me out.
Me too. Yeah. And like in the scene where there's like a band in this one, they were like rocking out and then like a cartoon comes in.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so dumb.
It's like, it looks like Shrek. Like, it's because it was made like prior to Shrek. That that CGI animation was like done for 1997. So it looks like CGI from 1997.
It does. It's like Roger Rabbit or something happening. I don't know. Even though
my roommate made me watch the original that he pulled up on YouTube and was like, this is better. And
it's little Muppets dancing around. It looks like real.
I know. And that was what I really loved about this movie was how all the practical effects were like my favorite part. And they were so... There were so many more than in the other movies, like so many more characters and like puppets and things, which I loved. I thought Jabba was amazing. We were bummed because we watched the new A New Hope with Jabba, like CGI.
CGI Jabba slug. I like him better. Big and nasty and a puppet.
And there's this whole kind of arc that we don't get because we don't see him in Empire, but apparently he like really kind of goes to seed in between New Hope and
because he's immobile, in
Return of the Jedi.
Truly, he's like 1,000 pounds.
My 600-pound life. Yeah. He kept eating and needs doctor now.
And then the first one he was kind of sprightly, like walking around kicking his tail.
He can slither.
But I loved all of the weird creatures in Jabba's palace, if you will. Yeah. And then, okay, who is in charge of the wardrobe for prisoners? Because this bikini Princess Leia is wild.
So is this like known as the horniest moment?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of teenage boys like have some kind of formational moment with this. But I was wondering, like, you guys having not seen it before now, like, what was your awareness of the Princess Leia slave outfit? Because it's, like, such a kind of icon of geek mythology, especially, like, heterosexual male geek stuff.
I knew it was coming. I didn't realize it was while she was a prisoner.
Me neither. Yeah. And I also didn't know that it wouldn't be for the whole movie.
Same.
I thought it was kind of, like, the look for this movie.
Kind of like how superheroes have a look. But no, she changes. Yeah. She's a real woman. She was like, this is not comfy.
I think that surprised me that she got to change clothes throughout the movie. Like, I just saw it as, I don't know, I kind of imagine these, a few outfits that she's in over time and that she would just be in them.
She has a lot of different looks. Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite? Because I have strong opinions about Leia's
look. So far, I think her puffy vest.
Yeah, I was just about to say, do you like the puffy vest?
Because she has a really good hairdo in that movie. She does these like loopy braids and stuff.
And she got to have her hair down in this one, which I was happy about.
Honestly, too much hair.
Yeah, it's very, very 70s hair.
But I guess they had to like make it realistic that she would have had those entire braids.
Yeah.
But okay, so the creatures we have are Twi'leks.
I believe it's Twi'leks.
Twi'leks.
Thank you.
They look. It looks like a personified penis.
Oh, that guy fucking, ugh, I hated
him. Bib Fortuna?
I felt like I knew guys who look like that.
Yeah, with just like a whisper in between each tooth.
Yeah.
I always kind of forget that like he's the same species as the dancers, which is very funny. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, the girls that are like,
with
they
the
have
long
like
green head.
That's like banded. They're like head tails or in bands kind of.
Yeah.
Twi'lek dancing girls.
I gotta say, for prisoners, what a great time.
Well, that's what I was confused about. It's like they were having fun.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, the dance, I don't think the dancers were having fun. I mean, the one singer gets thrown into the pit.
Well, yeah, she died.
Well, I don't think they're prisoners.
Oh, they're just part of the crew.
Oh.
Like,
okay.
I think that they're, maybe the girls are prisoners. I don't know. Like, Leia certainly is because she's literally chained up.
She's on a chain.
But I think that everybody else is just, like, it's like a den of, like, scum of villainy. It's just like everybody's hanging out with the hot gangster and enjoying the entertainment and
then the cartoon.
I guess it's like the Sopranos where Tony Soprano goes to bada bing with all the girls and they're performing for him and he interacts with them. Okay.
So we can't know for sure whether the girls are enjoying themselves, but they
don't look like they're enjoying themselves. So one of them gets eaten by a monster.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
Yeah.
And then we got the Gamorreans who look like little warthogs.
Yeah. These guys, like, when they first show up, I feel like that's the first sign that, like, Return of the Jedis is going to be a little cute. Because they're, like, they're supposed to be mean, but you're like, oh, like a little pig guy.
I know. I kind of, this felt very Disney. And, like, there is a character, I think, from Sleeping Beauty that they're kind of like guards that look like these little rhino guys.
Oh,
they reminded me of that. But I thought, very accessible for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then Rancors.
Yeah,
they massive beasts with claws and lots of gross teeth.
I didn't like them.
I love the Rancor. I think, like, this movie has a lot of, like, kind of funny details that didn't need to be in it at all. And one of my favorites is the guy who loves the Rancor, who trains the Rancor when he goes and he's crying over him. I love that moment. It's so, it makes me feel so weird still.
There were so many, like, weird little details in this one. It felt like they gave, like, Henson people, like, free reign.
Yeah, they said, make us the weirdest shit you can.
Yeah.
And then we got a Kowakian monkey lizard. I liked the look of this little
guy.
Dude,
yeah.
But he was so sinister.
Yeah.
But I really liked him.
He's very Henson, though.
Yeah.
Like, super,
very Fraggle Rock.
Salacious Crumb. Yeah. See, I know all these guys' names because I read the novelizations of all the books. And the novelizations.
Earlier that there's novels.
Yeah. They not only give you the name, they're like, instead of just like, oh, there's this little guy who looked like a little rat monkey, they're like, a Salacious B. Crumb, like, cackled maniacally or whatever. And then they also, which is crazy, they all of the foreign languages, they'll, like, write out phonetically.
Wow.
So, like, I know all the lines that are, like the Viv Fortuna lines and stuff because they are, like, spelled out in the, like,
Bichada
Suguri and stuff. Like, I totally remember all of them.
How wild.
It's very weird.
How old were you when you started getting into this stuff?
I first watched all these movies when I was, I think, 7 or 8. And my mom put me onto them. She did with, like, all sci-fi stuff. We were a big geek household. And then I got really into them, like, to the geek level, I think around, like, age 10 or 11. And then the reissues came out in 97. And then that's when it kind of exploded. And I was just, like, all in. And it was also, like, the internet was starting to be, like, a useful resource if you wanted to be a nerd about something.
Yeah.
So it all kind of timed up perfectly around then.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And did you have
friends
when
cool.
you were...
It's not cool.
No, it's okay. We're learning about how it is cool.
We're learning.
We're going to get on board.
Cool. People love this.
I'm glad that you guys are into this one because this one has gotten a historically bad rap.
I don't understand how.
We kind of heard that on our two previous episodes that people will say that this is, like, the most childish one and that then makes it kind of lame.
Guess what? These are movies for kids.
Right. So, like, this is the best one.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny. It's cute.
It's
has a lot
creatures.
Of like unique interest. Like, obviously, Ewoks.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Now, do you love Ewoks?
I love
Ewoks. We love Ewoks.
I didn't know what an Ewok was, and I decided to not look it up. They are so fucking
cute. They're so
cute,
and there's such a wide range about what they can look like within their species, which I love.
A lot of diversity within the Ewoks. Yeah.
And their little baby ones were so cute.
So cute.
And they're kind of insane. Like, I don't know, when Leia first approaches the Ewok, and then they have, like, a little, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
I just love that moment, and it kind of sat with her and ate. It was adorable.
His name is Wicket Warwick, I believe.
Oh, they have individual
names.
Because I had a little plushie of him.
I want one.
It's very, very cute. You can get him at Disneyland.
The problem is I'm going to have so much Star Wars merch so soon. I, like, want it all. And I, minutes ago, thought this was all the worst thing that ever happened. So.
Well, this is the thing when in the... with The Last Jedi, the most recent Star Wars movie that Rian Johnson directed, and he created the Porgs, sort of like these, like, little bird penguin type guys.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
And there was a lot of, like, eye rolling around that. I was like, no, there is a proud tradition of cuties in Star Wars. You must respect it.
I'll show you what they look like.
Oh, yes, I've seen those.
People
those
were kind
adorable.
Of obsessed with these, like, when
I
they
like
came
those.
Out. I feel like a lot of people wore this for Halloween.
Yeah, they're very,
that's very cute.
I think I like the most about this movie is it almost immediately starts into action. So the first movie, I truly was like, why are we watching The Gold Man and the Little Rolling Dumpster for so long? And then the second movie, same thing. This one, they, like, knock, knock, knock on the door. They get let in, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah. I was excited for you because we had been so bored by some of these openings.
Yes.
And I was like, there's no preamble. We're just
no
getting
preamble.
Right to
we
the point.
We got right to it.
Yeah.
And then I like the progression of Luke.
Yes.
Luke comes in. He a badass.
Yeah.
He's like, the Force is fully with me. So you know how Leia comes in and she pretends to be the... What's
bounty
it called?
Hunter.
Like a bounty hunter? Yeah. I thought that was Luke at first, but then I was like, ooh, look at the hips.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's Leia.
You're onto it. Oh, man.
That was a fun part.
I love that look for her. One of many Leia looks I enjoy. I also like that she learned, she chose to speak whatever language has like the least amount of words. Cause like whatever language she's using, they give the subtitles and it's like a whole sentence and she said like three noises. It's like whoever was in charge of making the languages up for Star Wars just like took the off day that day.
They were like, well, make it easy for the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to think that Carrie Fisher was like, no, I won't learn a new language.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I feel like from what I know of her personality, she might have been like, can you just I'm not going
to
say
give me
all
a
that.
Couple things yeah. to say.
Well, she also, I mean, she has I don't even know if that's her voice because they put it through a modifier. But her voice is a little rough in this movie, like noticeably rough.
It is different. Yeah. I noticed that. She, from just like partying or
think,
what do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, she has like a Coke nail, a visible Coke nail in this movie. Yeah.
Does she really?
Hilarious.
What a treat. See,
yeah, not being willing to cut it.
Yes. She was like, absolutely not. What am I going to do after we wrap?
Yeah.
What am I going to do to get through the day?
I'd have to like wait another 3 weeks to grow it out again. Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, you can see it. Like, I remember when that became like a kind of viral thing that was like somebody actually went around to like freeze frame that moment.
Oh,
she has her
great.
Hand on Han's shoulder. You can, it's very easily Googleable.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But okay. She mostly didn't talk. I don't know that she's talked about doing blow on Return of the Jedi. She talked about it on Empire, which she's like much more high strung for. So maybe that makes sense. She's kind of chilled out actually in Jedi. But yeah, she definitely sounds like she's had some long nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, then they have the whole thing with Han Solo thawing him out. That happened before or after?
Yeah, so we...
That was right before that. Okay, so Princess Leia comes down undercover.
Yes, we thaw
then
him out.
Then we have the fight to escape Jabba's clutches, which I loved.
Yeah.
Yes,
that was a
so
fun
good.
Fight. And yeah, I mean, all my notes really were every time someone died that I cared about or thought what I was supposed to care about or was planning to get invested in for the next fucking 10 movies.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Just died.
Boba Fett, Jabba. I couldn't believe Jabba died. I thought that was insane.
Also, all he died from was strangulation.
Yeah. It was so weird.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
But I was like, good, get him out of here.
I wanted more. He was only in the movie for like 15 minutes. Like, I thought he was such an important figure.
Yeah, just
wait,
like
really?
Boba Fett.
Yes.
No, but Boba, okay, I want to talk to you guys about Boba Fett.
Okay.
Because I think because I had to watch like this, one of the new editions where they have all the added footage and stuff in it. So there are more cutaway shots to Boba Fett when they're in Jabba's palace. Like, when people are having conversations, they'll like cut to Boba Fett on the side, like talking to some of the dancing girls or whatever. And it's very weird because like, so that character blew up after, like he's in like two shots in Empire Strikes Back. And then during the original release, he blew up after that, like every single boy, like including my husband. I just do not get it because I'm like, what is with him? Like, why do you guys think he's so cool? Why is he this huge character? He does nothing.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, you know, they merchandise the hell out of him. And then he shows up. He didn't even have a name that was said out loud in Empire. And then he shows up in Jedi. And, like, and there's a whole thing where they, like, where, you know, Han accidentally kills him and is like, Boba Fett, Boba Fett. It's like, that was, like, completely a response to this, like, merchandising that had taken place in between Empire and Jedi. And then in between that original release and then the re-release where they added in all this extra Boba Fett footage just to like I don't know, to fan service type stuff. I don't know. I truly don't understand the Boba Fett thing.
And I always thought when I've heard the name Boba Fett, I think my entire life, but I thought it was more like a Jabba thing. Like that name just sounds, so I was surprised by what
he's just like a thin man
like a
wearing
Boba the Fett.
A helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
So is it weird that I was surprised Jabba died or I thought it was gonna be so much more important. Like,
yeah, same.
To you, is that like Jabba's just not a key player?
No, he's like a hurdle. He's like a boss a level of a video game. He's made to seem more important if you are watching the re-releases where you have that added scene.
Right.
And I guess originally also, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but because they shot that scene, obviously, and then they added in the CGI right. Jabba. But Jabba was like a human.
Yes.
Originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that maybe they had kind of intended to make him more of a thing. But by the, like, if you're watching the original release and you've never seen him before that movie, then I don't know. He just seems like an obstacle to overcome. Mm-hmm.
Right.
A very colorful obstacle.
And I think he just became such a big part of culture, like, as a reference point, that to me, I thought, like, he's going to be in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they made that movie now as, like, an original story, he would be the whole point.
Yeah, and
absolutely. Killing him would be, like, the end.
Yes, because there's many different hurdles for them to get through. It's like a... It's like an obstacle course.
But I guess it's more fun. They kill him right away and you're like, now what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That made it more interesting for me.
Yeah. I liked that fight. I did not like that Little Shop of Horrors plant that was in the ground.
Yeah.
And my roommate, John Millizer, was like, oh, that was added later. It used to just be teeth.
It was just like a spiky hole. Like it was very vaginal before. And then it got tentacles and a little mouth and it's very stupid.
Yeah, it was too much like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I got worried that Lando was going to die. And I was like, please, we just got a black man.
Yeah, yeah, we need
please
him.
Please don't.
Yeah.
And then he was sweating. And I was like, I hope his perm doesn't sweat out. I was very worried about that. But then he gets
saved. He's the only one whose hair changes with the times in a different way. Like, I feel like Leia's in a whole different universe with her hair. It's not like anything I've seen, really. And then everyone else is kind of just like whatever their hair is doing. But I did feel like he has like styles.
Yeah.
Luke's hair got worse in this one.
Yeah, it's a little helmety.
Yeah.
It goes from the full-on 70s shag to like a more like conservative 80s look.
Yeah, and the first one, he's like a surfer, basically.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He's just riding that moisture he's farming. I can't let that go. Farming is so funny to me.
So weird.
He's hogging all the moisture.
Okay, wait, so they filmed this one in the Redwood National Park Forest and Yuma Desert in Arizona and outside of London as well.
So they didn't go back to Tunisia for Tatooine.
Yeah. This is maybe the least interesting locations for shooting.
Well, I like the Redwood Forest stuff just because I like Endor and I love the speeder bike chase.
Oh, that
I
was
used
awesome.
To like in like the early days of online video, I spent probably like 3 hours downloading just like a posted size clip of that scene just so I could watch it over and over.
That's adorable.
It's very cute.
I loved it so much.
Also, this is a fun fact. George Lucas ran production as an independent filmmaker because he severed all ties to the Hollywood system, feeling persecuted after the success of The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
Do you know about this? What do you mean by persecuted?
I have no idea, I feel like this is the beginning of the Lucas, I don't know what you would call it exactly. He just has like a complex in general.
Mm-hmm. This is so interesting because this has come up a few times. And when I think of this whole franchise and him, what I've always thought was that like Star Wars fans just straight up revered him like with no hesitation. And it feels like everyone who's come on the show has said like, oh, well, he kind of gets in his own way. Like there's like a lot of criticism for him.
Yeah. I think that maybe there was just like kind of uninhibited, you know, love and admiration of him until the re-releases came out. Like I think that there were some people who were like, why would he mess with these movies? Like why not just like remaster them and make them look incredible instead of adding all this extra shit into them? But I mean, I didn't really feel that also as a child at the time. And I was just stoked to see them on a big screen. But I think definitely with the prequels, that's when a lot of people were like, wait, is this person has made enough money and like has enough resources that they don't have to be a part of the Hollywood system. They can kind of run things on their own. They don't need to have extra studio eyes, you know, see like making sure that a movie isn't boring as hell, or even just like reads like a movie.
Right.
I think that the original Star Wars movies, people liked them because they were kind of, they felt like sort of referential to like old serials and stuff and like very familiar sort of pulpy genres and everything. And then, but then the prequels are kind of, the genre is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's like very, it feels very, like hermetically just like walled off from everything else.
And those are the ones that are next.
Yes.
The next three.
Yes.
And okay. People don't seem to like the prequels.
We've been told they are horrible.
We love this movie, that's so true. We're gonna love these prequels.
We better fucking love something about them. I don't know.
Are you you're gonna watch the prequels?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel like I have a new bit of like life inside of me after mm-hmm. watching this one, because I got really scared after the first one. Second one, I was like, this is still possibly a very bad idea.
And then the third one, I was like, honestly, I think I care about this world now.
Me too. And I was like, I kind of want to know what's going on, yes. and I want to be informed.
Just like cherish this feeling right now before you watch the rest of them. I'm surprised you guys were not into Empire, because that's the popular
favorite. We
thought
it was
favorite.
Better than the first
yes.
one.
Yeah.
But we didn't
really care. A very big improvement, but a lot of things that could have been cut.
Yeah.
It's a classic downer part two.
Mm-hmm.
At least. Yeah. You in a very uncertain place before.
Well, I also think what's been kind of interesting is how the sort of pop culture phrases and like big things that we've held on to mm-hmm. are knocked out pretty quickly.
Yes.
And like, so this one had a couple. So we finally got that Luke and Leia are siblings.
Yes, yes. We learned that. We learned that when he goes to see Yoda.
Yeah.
Yoda is clearly not well.
Yeah.
And Yoda just is truly like, let me go. And then Luke is like, but I have some more questions. At one point, he is cross-eyed because he is like, let go about fucking die.
I know.
And it's kind of rude. But then also, I was like, I get it. Let's keep him alive a little bit longer.
Well, he was like, I just want to lay down. I'm like, you're saying that. You could be answering mm-hmm. the question. Like, yeah. just mm-hmm. take the time right
also,
now.
Before the whole scene started, when you first see him, I looked at John. I was like, why he's so old? And John was like, just watch. And then Yoda literally was like, I look old.
I'm 900.
Yes. I said to Mike, like, if Yoda dies, I'm not going to be able to handle it. And mm-hmm. he was like, keep watching the scene. And then I was like, is Yoda going to die?
Oh.
And then, like, I started doing something on my phone. He was like, Yoda dies, so pay attention. And I was like,
I know.
And then he did die, and he just disappeared.
He just disappears
that's
into
kind
the
of
force.
Nice,
though.
That's
like, yeah, if you're one with the force, when you die, you disappear. Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah,
you
know? And it feels nice for children to watch something mm-hmm. that if a beloved character dies, they just kind of like
just
love
go
it
into
and fade.
The ether.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really devastating, though, and I actually feel bummed about it. And do we get to see him again?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Allegedly, he flips and stuff in the
prequels.
Oh, right.
We did find out.
Yes.
Okay, good. You see him in CGI.
I think this is what's hard.
Oh, he's CGI?
I don't know. Why do they do that?
And the first, and one, he is a puppet that I think they do a little bit of CG augmentation mm-hmm. to, and he's fully CG for two and three.
This bums me out because I think part of the reason why I like him so much is because he's a practical puppet who you can see. His expressions.
Yeah, he's a lot of personality.
It's so impressive. Mm-hmm. Like that to me, like, just does so much more than CGI. With even you forgive so much about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it feels real. Like, fine, that's what that character, that Yoda thing, looks like a puppet.
Yeah,
and that's real.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I can get on board with that.
We have to take a break.
We do. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about Ewoks.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And now we're back. Ewoks.
This was my favorite part, obviously. I think all of us agree. Yeah. Ewoks are the best.
They're so cute.
Okay, they made two TV films and an animated TV show about Ewoks.
But that's what you need to watch next.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Take a break and watch the Ewok Adventure.
Okay, we should do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's watch the Ewok Adventure.
I remember them being very scary when I was a kid.
Are they, really? Are they animated or no?
They're live action.
Oh, cool.
They're,
okay.
Yeah, and it's like about a little girl who's like stranded from her family on Endor. And I just remember, like, I think there's a witch in them.
We have to watch that.
Yeah. I'm down
we
to
need,
watch that.
We need like something
some
made
straight
for us.
To video 80s fare. Yeah.
Okay, but they almost didn't exist at all. Originally, the heroes were going to get help from a group of Wookiees, mm-hmm. and the production team decided that since Chewbacca could fly the Millennium Falcon, Wookiees were too technologically advanced for the plot. So there's a scene where C-3PO gets his eye chewed on by Jabba's weird sidekick and pet, and while filming in the suit, actor Anthony Daniels had a panic attack. Instead of delivering his lines, he simply repeated, "Get me up, get me up." Okay, I accidentally went into the next point because I was covering my bullet point, but that's... insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a panic attack.
I didn't know about that. That's wild.
So, wait. I mean, isn't that what he says in the movie or no? Did he not say that? I feel like that scene was weird.
It was weird.
You mean when he's
Getting chewed on?
He does say, get me up. Yeah.
So I remember thinking it was weird.
They left his panic attack in the movie.
I almost think I said that to Mike, that it seemed like he really just said that and they left it in.
Wait, is that, but when he's but getting his eye chewed out, isn't that in the Jabba's scene, or
yes,
is it?
I jumped.
Okay.
No, that's
like,
really.
I told you guys. I know this movie.
I was like, I told you guys I have this in a brain.
It's not while the Ewoks are happening. No.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway, so they decided to make Ewoks because Wookiees were too smart,
which I think does make sense.
Yeah, because we were debating, like, okay, so Chewie can fly a plane, but he's also your dog.
Also a dog. Yeah, the smartest dog in this universe.
He's really good at, like, hologram chess or whatever they're playing. Yeah. So, you know, he can play a strategic game. Or maybe it's just, like,
also,
I don't know.
He can is I just very say, smart. I really loved Chewie's reaction to seeing Han Solo again. It's cute.
Very sweet.
He's like, my friend is back.
Yeah. He's so emotional. I actually can't take it.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I was truly in the other movie when they're in the trash compactor, I was truly feeling for him because
he's
having
panicking.
A full-blown panic attack.
Yeah.
Okay, so now he was having a panic attack and then now C-3PO
has
literally
a real
was.
Panic attack.
Also, Yoda wasn't supposed to be in this movie, but was added after George Lucas consulted with a child psychologist and decided he needed an independent character to confirm Darth Vader's claim that he is Luke Skywalker's father.
That's actually a good move. Like,
yeah,
I think that helps the film
move.
A lot. Yeah.
Because it's just this thing that's said and you're like, all right, well, one person has said
right.
it. And then it's like to have it confirmed by the person who's teaching him.
Yeah.
I think makes a lot of sense.
And like, yes, other people knew about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think also that maybe marks a difference between that George Lucas and like recent George Lucas, because I don't think recent George Lucas would be consulting a child psychologist about his story. He would be thinking about like this super like complex trade route, his political history of his universe, and like not thinking about the children who are his prime audience. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels very thoughtful to see it through a child's eyes in that way, because it is an adult character who's learning this, not a child. But yeah, it's children having to deal with that fact.
Did their mother get pregnant and then immediately upon hearing the news, he's like, I got to go to the dark side?
That's what I don't get. I'm like, what is the connection between Darth and the mom?
And
where did she go? Why did she have sex with them to begin with? Is sex part of the culture?
So you guys don't know anything about this?
Okay. No. Please don't tell us.
Okay.
Because
we're going to get there.
In the prequels.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to get there.
Because truly not knowing anything was so exciting in this movie.
I agree. Not having any idea how it... Every death was a shock. I mean, that was fun. That was fun.
Well, and like for years also, if you liked Star Wars, you had no idea about the
mom.
Like there was no casting there. You never got that filled in. All you knew that was Leia remembered her mom was sad. That's it.
Yeah.
Very beautiful, but sad. You know, like all movie moms.
Yeah, all movie moms are, beautiful, sad
and
people
dead.
Who die. Yeah.
Yep.
Can we talk about the Ewok, like, battle?
It's fun.
That was so fun. They're so smart and
they're
clever.
Very smart, clever, yeah. And they just, the way they move is, yeah. I truly was just delighted.
I was really shocked by their tongues and teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remembered seeing, I think I saw this movie when I was little, but only remembered the Ewoks. Mm-hmm. But didn't realize they were that big of a part of the movie. And then seeing how detailed they were was alarming. Yeah. Like, they're, like, very real.
Mm-hmm. They have, like, lips.
Yeah,
like, they're kind of, and, like, little pointy teeth. Yeah.
But my question is, why do they go to that planet? So Hans and Leia and Chewie, they go to that planet for
because
why?
Because the Empire has built a shield generator.
Yes.
Because they're building this new Death Star, but it doesn't have enough power yet to create its own shield.
Thank yes. you, so I missed that.
Yeah. So the building that they kind of infiltrate, I'm sorry, I've watched this movie many times.
It's very nice to have holes filled
in. I got, you know, a lot of things, but I missed a key point.
Yes. Yeah. So they do this, so they do their whole plan, first of all. They do the same kind of scene in A New Hope where they're like, here's how we're going to destroy the Death Star.
Yes.
And like the graphics capabilities have like quadrupled in the meantime. But they go and have the meeting with the Mon Calamari on the white spaceship.
That stern woman.
Yeah, Mon Mothma.
Oh, right. What's her name?
Mon Mothma. She
truly
also...
these names, Mon Mothman and Ben.
I know. That,
Ben.
Yes.
Yeah. There are multiple Bens in the Star Wars universe.
Why?
It's very funny.
You could name them anything.
Yeah. He loves Ben. The name Ben. yeah, so they, mom, but the, yeah, so they're basically explaining that the shield generator is on Endor, so they have to knock it out. And then, like, there's a window of time that they'll have then when they can get into the Death Star and blow it up from the inside. It's, like, not that complicated of a plan, but it's also, like, why are we on? It's like, it's just an excuse to go to another planet, basically, which is one of the joys of Star Wars, is going
now,
to a new planet.
Is someone like Mon Mothma, does that actress get, like, to be known forever from this? Or do people kind of forget? Because I feel like when you're in something this amazing.
Yeah.
I want the fans to care about everyone.
Yeah. I would love to look that up and see what she did after that, because she's such a presence. And she's like,
yeah.
When you're a child, also, you think she's Julie Andrews, but she's not. There are actually several people. And I was writing down all the people. There's a guy, like just a whatever, like brown shirt, Empire guy wearing like a funny helmet, who I thought was Rick Moranis when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I also think that Harrison Ford looks like him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At some angles, you're like, okay.
Sometimes Harrison Ford's facial expressions get a little over the top in this
movie. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Where it's like he's like, he's in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
There was a couple times where I was like, this acting is interesting.
And he'll like, make some like real big face about
like
that.
When he gets unfrozen, I was like, okay, I get that you're blind and you can't see right now, but I was like, you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I love jittery, like Han Solo, like straight out of like from just been birthed by a cow, like all wet.
I think it's
like shaking.
So out of his character that he was like, I don't really know how to do this.
Yeah. But he's still trying to be like smooth,
yes.
But like failing. I don't know. I think it's very charming.
Yeah, it was cute. I liked that he and Leia are an established couple at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was waiting for that. I feel like there was not enough reaction to the news that Luke and Leia are siblings and they have made out.
Kissed already. Yeah.
And have feelings for each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just that they kissed. It was like
but
something.
Han was truly just like, great. This is great.
He's fine with it. Ooh, she's fine with it.
Yeah.
Luke doesn't seem to. He's more just like, oh, she's my sister.
I think it was just truly something that happened in the love triangle, and they're trying to make you forget about the love triangle.
Yeah.
Like, we're sister and brother now. Whatever happened, the past is in the past.
Yeah.
What happens on this planet stays on that planet.
I mean, that's kind of how I've always thought of, because also watching it as a kid, I never was like, oh, they're underreacting to this, because I was like, they have so much to worry about right now. They're
right.
So busy. Like, okay, who cares if we like kissed or you were just like mad at your boyfriend, so you kissed me or whatever. Like, you know, bigger stuff has gone down. But there is like, I did this time through try to really like watch Luke's expression when he realizes that Leia is his sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because at first it's like this eureka, like, Leia's my sister. And then like Obi-Wan's talking to him and then like he kind of, his eyes wander again and you can see that, like, wait, what's happened between us type thing. Yeah, I'm imagining all that for Mark Hamill, but I have to think that it went through his mind as an actor.
I'm sure it was discussed.
Also, Darth Vader's costume budget, I feel like went up a little bit.
Oh yeah, everyone's.
That patent leather was shiny.
Yes.
Also, I got so excited every time that dun, 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 I was really like, yes, queen, stomp it out. Because Darth is kind of sassy.
Yeah.
With that cape flying.
Yeah.
And then I love that the music slowed down for his death.
Yes.
It was like, dun, 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 dun. I loved it.
The reveal of his face was such a strong choice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was necessary, but I could see why Luke would want to see him.
Yes.
But to me, it's like, remember him how you want to remember him.
Yeah.
Like, don't look at him when he's a fucking purple dead thing.
And then I appreciated that he was kind of purpley because I was like, that could be James Earl Jones without lotion.
Yeah.
You know, just real ashy.
That, it does like clear up that question that we had of like, okay, so it's James Earl Jones.
Yes. Yeah,
but his kids
but
are white.
Boy, when that helmet comes off, I truly went, no, thank you.
Well,
I did not like it.
That was fucking gross. I didn't think it would be like that, especially because we had seen the back of his head where
Which
it looked like chewed up bubble gum.
Yeah.
And that didn't really line up with what his face looked
like.
No, it was pretty upsetting.
Well, I don't know how much they go through what happened to him, other than, like, you know, he does say, like, he's more machine now than man, Obi-Wan does. But, like, that is sort of, like, also kind of literal. But he did have, like, a very traumatic body injury.
Well, we learned that he lost his hand, just like Luke.
Right. Yes, he lost his hand. But I think he lost more than that, too. Mm. I think we are supposed to understand, also, when you watch the prequels, that, like, significant parts of his body and physiology are gone.
Oh, my God. Is he like the alien in Men in Black that's that little alien sitting in the head of that man?
Oh, my God.
Where it's just his
it's
face,
just a tiny face
with just, like, mechanical parts?
He just, like, planted his head onto some stormtrooper's body. It's like, go.
Oh, my God.
And possible. Then I did not love that Luke burned him up.
Yeah.
I was like, that patent leather can't smell good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what was he going to do? Take his clothes off? Like, I don't know.
I guess. But also maybe, I guess you want to burn him to make sure he's dead?
Oh, wait, what about the part with Darth protecting his son?
Oh, yes. That was
this
very
movie, right?
Wait,
I don't want to mix them
you
up.
You guys haven't talked about the Emperor at all because this is the first time we really see the Emperor.
Okay, let's talk about the Emperor.
Yeah. Okay.
Disgusting.
He just looks thirsty. He's dry.
He's very
so dry. He needs a mask.
Hydration to the face. And he is just obsessed.
He was scary to me.
I thought he was scary. Was his whole plan he wanted Luke to kill Vader so then he could assume Vader's role because he is more powerful than Vader?
Apparently.
Okay.
And then Vader protects Luke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
By
which was very nice.
Picking up the Emperor and then he got electrocuted and then we saw. It was kind of like a skeleton thing where you saw his skeleton, but it was just the outline of his helmet.
Yeah.
And that got me. I giggled real hard. And then he threw him down a hole, and that's how he dies?
And, like, fumes.
Yes.
Just, like, out of the hole.
It's real easy to kill people in this universe.
It is, but it's not. It's like, there are some holes where you fall down and you're fine. Some holes where you're immediately dead.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Some holes where a giant thing eats you. Like, a hole could be anything.
Yeah, you just gotta get in the right hole.
Am I wrong? I never watch trailers for anything now because I just hate, like, I just like to watch a movie for the first time. But I think that they, like, tease the Emperor cackle in for the latest, the new Star Wars movie that's coming out.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Which I
avoid this information.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that he looks so old in this one, but the actor, like, goes on to play him in the prequels as a younger man.
Oh, right. Okay, my husband told me this.
Yeah.
That they basically use old face makeup on this guy in these movies, but as he ages, he continues to be in the film and just it gets older.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
I know, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So he looks like, you know, 200 years old in this, but then he plays like a 70-year-old or 80-year-old.
In the prequels, do we learn how the Emperor becomes the Emperor?
Yes.
Oh,
that's like a big part of the prequels.
Okay.
And a lot of it is quite boring.
Oh, boy.
And some of it's sort of exciting. That's all that
God.
I will say.
Okay. It's been so interesting because
I feel that I'm now on the path of I'm excited to mm-hmm. know all of this shit finally right. once and for all. Like, I've spent so long being like, I don't know, I don't care. And I actively would avoid learning. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. now I'm kind of in.
This so is how I'm everybody in. Felt.
I'm into it.
In May of 1999.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can't wait to find out what happened before Star mm-hmm. Wars.
So there were some good reviews, of course, of this movie at the time. Mm-hmm. Roger Ebert gave it a 4-star review. He's already a super fan by this mm-hmm, point.
He loves it.
He says, the story in the Star Wars movies is, however, only part of the film and a less crucial element as time goes by. What Jedi is really giving us is a picaresque. Is that how you say that?
Picaresque.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Journey through the imagination and an introduction to forms of life less mundane than our own. Oh, that's nice.
He gave it 4. Is that 4 out of 4?
That was, I believe, 4 out of 4.
Hmm.
I mean, usually they do thumbs up, so I don't really
I always remember, like, Leonard Maltin, because we had the Leonard Maltin book when I was growing up. I think he gave this one a mere 3 out of 4 stars.
Ah.
Well, yeah, there's Scott.
I think. Well, the New York Times. All of the members of the old Star Wars gang are back doing what they've done before, but this time with a certain evident boredom. I disagree
yeah. so firmly on that.
I mean, there's one person who is very clearly bored in this movie, and his name is Sir Alec Guinness, but he only has one scene,
who's
so
that?
It's fine.
Is that Ben?
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, Ben. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he has to explain all the shit to Luke, it is the most bored and checked out I've ever seen anybody be in a Star Wars.
Like, so when they show the hologram at the end where I think it was Obi-Wan Kenobi and then Anakin mm-hmm. as Hayden,
yeah,
was Obi-Wan originally there, and then they add Hayden Christensen?
They had Obi-Wan and then the actor that played Anakin that was like the guy in the suit at the end, but
okay.
him like looking normal and in Jedi robes, and then Yoda. Yeah.
I really hate the idea of them putting Hayden Christensen's head when they reveal the Darth Vader.
Yeah,
I think
so dumb.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, now I'm wondering, I'm going to double check on this after, because I'm genuinely curious, but I'm pretty sure that there was a version of, and they might have taken that out because it was too weird looking, because
mm-hmm.
they've done so many versions of this since then, so many reissues of the reissue.
Yeah.
I have a DVD, a bootleg DVD burned of the original Laserdiscs of Star Wars. That's my version that I own. So I'm like a purist here.
When you bootleg a Laserdisc, do you make a Laserdisc?
it's like a teeny tiny Laserdisc. Baby Laserdisc. No, I got it off of eBay, of course.
Oh. So do you collect a bunch of stuff like this? This is like...
Not really. I had some memorabilia when I was like a teen that I would just pick up, but I was never a big merch getter. The stuff that I wanted was always the most expensive stuff. Like, I wanted to have the lightsaber handles that you can buy for, you know, $1,000 or something that.
$1,000?
It's just a handle that doesn't light up?
Yeah. It's like in a like case.
Whoa.
Like, and then it's just like a replica, a prop replica. And then they also, there was a catalog of all, like the official Lucasfilm Star Wars catalog that I used to just like pore over.
Oh.
And they had also a life-size replica of Han and Carbonite.
Wow.
You know, for your home.
How much was that?
Many dollars.
So
a lot.
That would be so funny if we had that in our houses now.
Well, he's also
like
now making
a
sex face.
Gotta hang this on my wall.
And he's like, oh.
Yes, I said that. I was like, that's his cum face. It's very funny.
Must have been annoying to make that because you had to have your mouth open with something inside of it, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The lightsaber. So Darth said you made this, so Jedis make their own lightsabers?
Apparently.
The lightsabers got cooler in this one. They were like sleeker and slimmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Luke's in this one he made for himself because he lost his last one. And that's, we're to assume that happened in between the two films. And I guess, I can't remember if we ever see Anakin making his lightsaber, but I can't think that if he did, then it wasn't the one that he's using as Darth Vader, because that's a red one and that's a Sith lightsaber.
Oh, so green is good and red is bad.
Green and blue are good.
I didn't actually connect that they had
either.
Different ones. Yeah.
I was just like, this is a Christmas fight.
Yeah. They're all green or blue or red, except Samuel L. Jackson had a purple lightsaber.
Samuel L. Jackson's in this?
Oh, yeah, in the prequels.
Spoiler!
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, that's
who
exciting.
Who does he play? Have we seen his character?
No, his name is Mace Windu.
Mace Windu?
Yeah.
Honestly, wow. What a wild ass
Mace Windu.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But he seemed really excited to be there. But it's also like the prequels, like even somebody with the enthusiasm and like just magneticism, is that the word, mm-hmm. of Samuel L. Jackson, like the effect of being on those prequels, like even saps it out of him. Like yeah. you can tell he was super stoked to be there. And it's like a month later, it's like,
Oh my God. I cannot imagine what that would feel like to be first of all, you get to be mm-hmm. in one of these movies, which are iconic and
yeah.
like whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're bored.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that. Honestly, right now I'm like, put me in one.
Me too. I think that's our campaign now, is to get into.
Oh my God.
We hated it. Now we love it. Let us be in it.
We're learning. We're informed.
Mm-hmm. I had a chance to go to a Star Wars for the Last Jedi set, and I couldn't do it because they were shooting in England and I couldn't go. But I was like, I'm going to kick myself over that for the rest of my life. Like, just to like sit in the
cockpit.
That
would have been so cool.
It would have been amazing.
Yeah. I guess I got to go to Disneyland now.
Yeah.
Or Disney World. I don't know.
We should take a trip there for an episode.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I still haven't been.
I like.
Lauren really wants a Yoda
backpack. It's really good. Yeah.
And then we understand why Yoda's a backpack.
Yeah,
because
part
of his training was to carry him around.
It's such a good toy idea.
Truly. Yeah. Honestly.
Well, all the toys are really good.
Yes.
I was thinking just now about the lightsabers and how if you were making this world and then you see children fighting with them, mm-hmm. that must feel really gratifying.
Oh, yeah.
I created something that was like so exciting to kids.
Yeah.
Where's George Lucas now?
Yeah, what is he doing?
Where's Marin? Like,
he just hangs out. He's millions and billions.
He got so much money in that Disney deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he never has to do anything again for the rest of it. And I think like he's a little
crazy.
Bummed about that because he doesn't get to like be a creative mm-hmm. part.
He gives that up as well. Like,
yeah, because he
selling
sold
it.
The
okay.
franchise.
Wow,
he sold all the rights to Disney.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting. And would they not want to include him? I don't understand. I guess it's like
my take.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. To have someone who keeps changing movies that are locked,
that's
money.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, the movie's made a ton of money, but now we have to go back in an editing bay and we're going to CGI someone's face over someone's face.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Right. And people like it how it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It seems very overly simplistic to say like, well, you know, by and large, like even the fans didn't like what he was doing with mm-hmm. the franchise by the end there. But there must have been some financial reasons why they decided it was like smart for him to not be involved anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
So is this your favorite one or do you have another favorite?
Of the original.
One, right? What is your real favorite?
Of the original trilogy? Yeah. Empire. I mean, Empire
is what's
your
favorite
best.
Of all of them?
Empire.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But this one, I mean, this one was my favorite as a kid and I have a very soft spot for it and I'm very defensive of it when people start to knock the Ewoks and all the creatures and stuff
because I love
that stuff.
I can't imagine being upset about the Ewoks.
Wrapped. I don't know what you want out of these
right.
movies. Yeah. They were cute. They were moving around a lot. They had a lot of action.
I liked them.
I loved them.
They make the guy trip on the logs and he goes woo 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 and falls over. That scared me so much as a kid.
Oh my God, I know. They should have a whole treehouse section of Star Wars land where it's all Ewok style.
I would go visit that.
Do they have Ewoks walking around in costume?
Oh.
Can we cuddle with Ewoks?
Do you guys know about the Star Wars Christmas special?
No.
It's the worst thing ever ever filmed. I don't think it was filmed. I think it was like taped. But it is entirely about Wookiees. It's about Chewbacca's.
Truly, everything that you're saying is bad. I'm like, I'm on board.
That one sounds good.
I know that you like it sounds amazing and like even if it's so bad, it's good. Like it has to be amazing. Like Jefferson Starship shows up in it. It is almost unwatchable. And the only reason I watched it was because I was like I had to write about it for a piece.
Uh-huh.
So I soldiered my way through it. But it is but if you want some Ewok, or I mean some Wookiees, mm-hmm. they're aplenty.
Okay. I'm into it.
Out of the prequels, because people really tear apart these prequels. People hate mm-hmm. them. Which one is the most like this movie? I'm trying to figure out of the prequels which one I'm going to like the most.
Mm-hmm. I think that probably the first one, probably episode one, because...
And that's The Phantom Menace?
The Phantom Menace,
ooh,
because Anakin is a kid in it, so it's like kind of... You guys are learning.
You're really learning.
You're learning. exciting.
By the end, we can debate anyone about these films. It's going to be amazing.
I mean, you got to take on the board.
Yesterday, I called the first one. I was like, Hope, not here. And they were like, John was like, that's no, it's A New Hope.
We're still figuring it out.
Oh my God. But yeah, the episode one, just because Anakin is a kid in it. And so it's kind of like a child's level, a child's eye level story for a while. So it has that kind of very innocent feeling that I think a lot of Return of the Jedi has. It's sort of fun. There are a lot of creatures in it because there's a big sequence around pod racing, which is a pretty good, like, fun.
Did you say pod racing?
Pod racing.
Oh, pod racing.
It's like a this pottery scene that goes.
The
Ewoks and they're rubbing each other from behind.
Oh my God. Incredible.
Can someone draw that, please?
Oh my
yes,
God.
Please draw that.
That's our plea
that
for
would be
art.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, we have to wrap it up. So do you have anything you would like to plug? Your podcast, Night Call?
Yeah, Night Call. It's on the How Stuff Works Network. I host it with Molly Lambert and Tess Lynch, and we have episodes every Monday. I'm on Twitter at Emily Yoshida, and that's kind of it right now. I used to have like a long list of things, and I'm just like, I'm on Twitter and I do a podcast.
Well, people should deep dive all of your Wars writing
because
if they want to
have fan fiction. We didn't mention
that. Is that online?
Oh, wait, where?
Oh, we don't know. Ooh, we just know that you've written fan fiction.
Where did you find out I wrote fan fiction?
Oh, our producer informed us of this.
Oh my God, incredible.
Stalking you. I know your address as well.
I've watched you write fan fiction in your window.
Well, my fan fiction is not published under my name, so you will never find it.
Oh, great.
Ha, 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 ha.
Is it published?
I mean, it was on a site for Star Wars fan fiction.
Oh, okay.
Fiction.
So we
amazing.
Do you want us to cut this part out?
We can.
No. I mean, it's fine for everybody to know that I wrote Star
I think
Wars
that's a
fan
fun
fiction.
Mystery, right? With you.
Nobody like, can ever it? Read it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I think we want to try
most...
to write some at some point, I think.
Yeah, I think.
We'll see if we'll try.
I want to write. I think my fanfic will be Chewbacca finding a Lady Bubaca. Chewbacca. Ooh, oh, my God.
That's her name.
Yep, Chewbacca meets Bubaca.
I'm going to write Ewok porn.
Yes. Just like cuddling.
Yes. Yeah, it's all really tame.
Yeah, very, very tame. They just hug each other and smile.
And then babies pop up. Yeah.
Lauren, where can people find you?
They can find me at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter and Instagram. Please follow along. I know. And where can they find you?
Nicole Byer on Twitter and Instagram.
And everyone should be following up along because we also have other podcasts that we do and things you might be interested in that if you like us talking about things, we talk about things a lot.
We
so.
Love talking about things.
Yeah.
Things
so
are the
find
best.
Our other podcasts. Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you so
Emily.
Much
this
for
was
being
so
here.
Fun.
This is great.
This was my favorite
I
one.
Loved it. Lauren, I was so jazzed to come talk about
me
it because I liked it so much.
I feel happy today.
Yes.
So let's see what happens
it
next time.
It was a rough 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.